God, thank you, Lord. Oh, glory to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Pray with me, Father.
Yes, Lord.
You have been so amazing in our gathering today, Lord. Oh, we're so grateful that you call your people together to come and worship you. And we find, Lord, that when we come and we worship you, you give more than we can give to you. We turn our face to you and our focus to you, and we give our praise to you, Lord, and we do all what we can. But then we turn around and, my God, you far exceed in our midst what we can ever give to you. Today we're grateful, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Every day we're grateful, Lord.
Thank you.
We're so grateful you choose to come and be with us when we gather together. Now, Father, we sit at the table now, Lord, of your holy written word.
Yes.
Lord, your word is too rich, too deep for any of us to ever be able to understand. But we thank you for your precious Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And we thank you, Lord, that you would choose frail messengers as us, imperfect people, to speak your word.
Thank you.
But Lord, we do it reverently
and
with awe
and
honor to you, my Lord. We thank you that you have your way.
Yeah.
I submit to you totally, Lord, as your vessel. We thank you that every ear in the ears of our hearts hear what you're saying to us today. Help us to appropriate it, to be able to understand it to the degree that we can, and then apply it to our lives. Holy Spirit, we depend on you for that. We thank you for it now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Glory to God. Now, 2 Corinthians. If you'll go to 2 Corinthians, I'm going to read it first. And then I'm going to give you an idea of why we're here, pretty much. And then the Lord has a message for us today. He has an instruction for us today. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to start at, let me see. I'm going to get this one in here. So you all are going to have to walk with me. I'm going to read quite a bit, I think. But I want to make sure you get the whole thing. Well, no, let me just start. Okay, I'll start at 6. Verse 6. And likely to read through to verse 18. All right. Who also, I'm going to have to start at 5. Verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness or boldness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Verse 14. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Say that with me. Which veil is done away in Christ.
Which veil is done away in Christ.
Yes, this veil is done away in Christ. 15. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Who hearts? Israel. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, say that with me, turn to the Lord.
Turn to the Lord.
The veil shall be taken away. Verse 17. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Now, as I read this text, if you were saying to yourself, I don't know what this is talking about. If you said that, you are in good company. Because I said, Lord, okay, I get it. But there's this question that we always ask. What does that have to do with me? What does this have anything to do with us? I understand what you're saying here about the Old Testament and the Ten Commandments and the old laws, and it's done away with now in Christ. You know, those of us who've been following the faith movement and the gospel of grace, we get that. But what does that have to do with us? Now, let me do a little summary, because I have to catch you up with the text that we have just read. I always want to remind us that when we are in the Bible, when we're looking in this Bible, we must know what was the intention for which this was written. Let us also recognize this. I don't know if we always say this or see this. And so this letter, which we call the book of 2 Corinthians, was written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth got the letter, they read the letter, and whatever problem it was addressing, and we're sure that they read it. But after they read it, they passed it on to another church. And that church, they read it, and they passed it on to another church. And it is likely that this letter and all of the letters in the Bible was passed from region to region in that day to the different churches. I want us to understand something today. This letter was written by the Holy Spirit of God using the vessel called Apostle Paul. And this letter was written to the churches. The churches back in ancient time, biblical time, and the churches today at Safe Refuge Ministries in White Plains. It was written for the churches. And see, can we not see that the purpose that it was written is being fulfilled? Because for generation and generation and generation, these churches have been reading these letters. It is for us then to understand that the Holy Spirit, who is the third person of the Father, is very precise in his purpose. And it was God's purpose to make sure that we would all read the same letter. See. So I said that to say this. If this letter was relevant back in that day, it is also relevant to us today. Glory to God. And now, it becomes the job of us as saints, as the children of God, as we read the Word of God, to partner up with the Holy Spirit so that he can show us and teach us how it's relevant in our lives. And I just want you to know, we've done that. All right. Now say this with me. But my sufficiency is of God.
But my sufficiency is of God.
Yeah, that was verse number 5. Now, let me tell you what's going on here. The church at Corinth, they were a robust church. Can I put it that way? And so they were always having issues. What would happen is someone would let the Apostle Paul know that this is the problem they have in that Corinth. And then, by the Holy Spirit, he would sit down. He would write a letter to address the issue. The same issue they had in the church back then is the same issue we have in the church today. And so, if then the Holy Spirit addressed this issue of people that were being enticed to go back and serve God through the law, meaning through the Ten Commandments, through the sacrifices of animals, through circumcision in the body. You know, the old laws of Moses, if they were tempted back then, we're also tempted today. We can receive that, can't we?
Yes.
All right, glory to God. I just want to make sure we all know that this word is for us. It is for us. And so that was the problem that the Apostle Paul was addressing. There was a group of Jews that were coming to these new churches that were just formed by the Apostle Paul and saying, listen, there's no way you can serve our God just by faith and grace. It doesn't happen. You must follow the laws of Moses. You must follow the laws of Moses. And so they were confused. And the Apostle Paul would write a letter and say, no, no, let me reaffirm to you the gospel that I preached. Now, today, you know how we've talked about compare and contrast, how that can be used to teach us some things. Well, again, today, this text is comparing and contrasting the degrees of glory of the laws, the moral laws of God. The degrees of glory of the moral laws of God. Because see, let's understand this. The Ten Commandments is the written expression of the moral standard of God. What is written in the Ten Commandments is God's character of righteousness. And it was written for the people so that they would know this is the standard of righteousness that God requires you to live by. But what we do know is that it could not be done. It wasn't. They did not have what was needed to consistently live according to God's moral laws. That's why in this writing, the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, calls it the written law of condemnation. It's the written law of death, sometimes he says. Because it was... It is the standard, it is required, but we can't do it. So therefore, there's condemnation. It is a separate, it causes a separation between us and God. Or we'll say them and God. There was a separation. So that comparing and contrast is the degrees of glory concerning the moral laws of God. Then we found out in Jeremiah chapter 31, again, back in ancient time, God let them know, listen, you're not going to be able to keep this, and I know it, but this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to write my laws on your heart. Jeremiah 31, 3 says that. I'll say what it says. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. So the Ten Commandments, as I said before, are God's righteous character. And the purpose was for people to live up to that standard. And because they couldn't, it is the law of death, the law of sin and death, the law of condemnation. But let us understand, though, there still remains a glory on the Ten Commandments, on the laws. It, of course, because God's righteousness will always demand glory. There is still remains a glory there. That glory, we use that word a lot. What does it mean, glory? Glory means an acknowledgement. You recognize it gets a high esteem. It's important. It remains a degree of glory, of honor, of being esteemed. Now, there is a purpose still today for this Ten Commandments. The purpose for Ten Commandments is the same purpose that it was originated for. It's for a people who didn't have Christ in their lives. Unbelievers. Unbelievers today need the Ten Commandments. I mean, can you agree with me on that?
Yes.
They need to know, it needs to be written somewhere, of God's moral law, his standard. We used to have it in the schools. We used to have it in the court. It used to be esteemed, but now it's been taken out. And we see the results of that, don't we? Now everybody got their own morality. And we see the results of having God's righteous laws extracted out of the citizenship. So it's still don't need it today, because God's righteousness will always demand glory. And this is what the Apostle Paul was saying. The Ten Commandments and the laws back in that day, they had their degree of glory. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, that glory, though, quit creating in the people condemnation, creating death. Yet, that glory that was written on stone is no match for the greater glory of the righteousness of God that is written in our hearts. That is written in our hearts. That's on the inward side of us. And when does that happen? When we believe in Jesus. It's a gift that's given to us when we believe in Jesus. It's the faith in the one who is God's righteous standard. It's a gift. We become righteous because we believe in Jesus Christ. And folks was having a hard time believing that. They were having a hard time walking in that. And why is that? Flesh always wants to have a part. It can't be so. That can't be possible that you just believe and now you're righteous. It can't happen that way, is what they were saying to the people. Now, that was one important part that was brought out here in chapter 3. But there's another. The veil. The veil was the other important part here. Let's talk about the veil for just a minute. In verse 7, it tells us that the veil. Let me tell you the story real quick in case you don't know. Moses, he brought the people out of Egypt. They're now at Mount Sinai. Moses goes up the mountain to meet with God and to get the Ten Commandments. He goes up there and just long story short, he went up, got them, came down. The people were sinning. Moses got mad. I think Moses had an anger issue. Moses got in trouble a couple times for getting mad. So I think he has an anger issue. But Moses got mad because the people were sinning against God. And he drew the tablets down and they broke. God in his graciousness said, okay, Moses, get you two more stones and come on back up this mountain. And we're going to do this again. So he went up the mountain. He got the Ten Commandments again written on the stone. But listen, he was up there 40 days and 40 nights, no food, no water. They tell me when he came down the mountain, the Bible said that there was a glory that was shining on his face.
Jesus.
Can you imagine spending 40 days, 40 nights with God, no food, no water, fasting? You know how we get when we fast, like you're real close to God, right? But come on now, 40 days, 40 nights up in a mountain. And nobody's phone ain't ringing up there. You don't have that up there. He up there with God. And God giving him all the righteousness down, all the laws, and putting it on a stone. So when he came down the mountain, Moses didn't know. His face was shining with the glory of God. And isn't that something? And so he comes down the mountain, and Aaron, the high priest, I want to say that again. Aaron, the high priest, and all the people, they saw Moses, and his face was shining. They took off. They're like, oh, you know, and Moses was like, come on, y'all. These people are real just like us. You come down the mountain, you just spent 40 days with God, and you come down the mountain, and the people you know you, they running the other way. You trying to figure out what's going on. They don't have mirrors back there. They didn't have it. He didn't know. He probably didn't go look in the lake and know. He had glory. And they go running. And I'm pretty sure Moses was like, what's wrong with y'all? So he called them back. He said, no, come back. It's me. And they came on back. And then Moses stood there and he explained to them the 10 laws. So it was more than that, but let's just go with the 10 commandments, the moral laws of God. He explained it to them. But his face shined with the glory of God. Let me tell you something about God. Tell you something about God. See, God knows we need to see something.
Yes.
We need examples.
Yes.
Before we can grab a hold of a thing. Simple. We need that. So, God in all his wisdom has just given this brand new nation of, what should we call it? Robust people. And just giving them their laws. They're just the same people that they build a golden calf calling themselves worshiping God. The same people. So, God needs to have a demonstration for them. And so here's Moses. We're going to say he had one tablet in one hand one half tablet in the other hand, and standing in the middle is a face, glory shining on the face. Mm-hmm. It was for what reason? I'm sure more than what we know, but definitely so that the people would know, no, this is real. This is real stuff. You can see the divine that goes with these laws right here, because here we got a man whose face is shining. Because we got to see something. You could see the glory of God on Moses. Glory to God. But yet and still, you see, this is, I love this part. I love this part. Every time Moses went into the tent of meetings, every time he went to go meet with God, he would take the veil off. Yeah, he had a veil on. He had to put a veil on. Folks were scared. They didn't want to keep looking at the man shining. They were afraid. So he had to wear a veil when he was around the people. But when he would go talk to God, he'd take the veil off. And when God would give him, Moses, something to tell the people, then he would go to the people, veil off, and tell the people what God said. But when that was over, he put the veil back on. I'm just regular Mo now. See? I'm just Mo. The Mo you know.
Yeah,
with the veil on. See? Oh, but they understood. They understood Moses was a man of God because he's all on his face. See? The veil. The veil. And the Holy Spirit is saying to us, but that glory, there was a glory, but Moses had to veiled. He had to cover his face. He had to cover his face. See, and the covering of his face was also symbolism to let a people recognize, know, and understand that there's still, though, a separation between people and God. Like, that veil was a symbol of the veil that was on their hearts back in that day. They didn't have Holy Spirit. There was a separation still in their hearts. They could hear the words. They could hear what Moses was saying. They could even try to abide by it and to live by it. But there was a veil, though, something covering their hearts that kept them separate from being able to carry out this righteousness. Glory to God. And then he says, but. And now, if there was glory on these Ten Commandments that would soon be gone, that God was going to do away with, and how much more glory that comes through Jesus Christ. Oh, glory to God. Now the veil, though. Let's talk about the veil. What does the veil have to do with us, though? See, let's understand that every person in this is born in this world with an innate desire to do good and be good. Everybody's born with it. That's how God designs us. Everybody comes into the world and there's just this thing, this desire, this automatic that I want to be good, I want to do good. I want to get better, I want to be better. That's just inside of us. And so, even today, as we are living out our lives, we're looking for how can I get better? How can I be better? How can I know better? How can I live better? It's all because that's inside of us. And see, just as them, they wanted to keep the law, but they could not. So, I bring that out for this, to make us see this. Okay, it's coming home to us now. To make us see this. Let's talk about that veil. Let's see this. With this desire in us to be better, to do better, we can find ourselves living under the law. And the law is self-effort. Because see, that with that ability or that desire inside of us, I want to be better, do better. When we were born into the world before we knew anything about Jesus, we were taught how to do that, weren't we? We were taught, go to school, get good grades, get a job, get promoted, be good to them. Share the first thing, share your toys with your brothers and sisters. We're taught to do that out of our effort. And so, this morning, as I present to us that there are still areas in our lives where the veil It's covering our hearts. It's in the areas where we are applying self. Self-knowing, self-producing, self-direction, self-learning, self-governing, self-help, self-love leads to self-destruction. The Bible tells us there is a way that seems good to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. Now, please understand, when the Bible talks of death, it's not talking about necessarily physical death. This is the separation from God. And when we are applying the better, to be better, to do better, to self, we have separated ourselves from God. So now we find ourselves again now operating under the law of self. That's that veil. I want to talk about self-love really quick here because that can throw us off. Self-love. Self-love. Sounds good, doesn't it? You got to love yourself before you can love anybody else. Sounds good, doesn't it? I know. Yeah, it sounds good. Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's even practical, even. How can you help somebody else if you don't help yourself first? I know. Sounds good. Sounds good. I know. It does. Absolutely. And the world has to be that way. They don't have anything else. But self-love? Self-love. How can you love somebody else if you don't love yourself? Well, I'm going to go this far and be as bold as the Apostle Paul said we can be when we're talking about the plainness of speech, when we're talking about the glory, of that glory that is written in our hearts. I'm going to be this bold. Self-love is anti-God. I'm going that far. Yes, I am. You heard me. Anti-God. I got to love myself first. The Bible doesn't say that. Anyway. The Bible doesn't say it. Now, you could say, Bible scholars, I know you say it. I know you say it. Well, didn't Jesus say that the second commandment, greatest commandment, was love your neighbor as yourself? Didn't that what Jesus said? Mm-hmm. He did. Mm-hmm. Now, go with me. Matthew 22:39. I'm going to blow the wind off of this one. Watch this. Oh, we're going to open this door today. Because we're about to get rid of the veil.
Yes.
Amplify. Matthew 22:39. Mm-hmm. I got to take care of myself first. God didn't say that. Then what are you saying? That's what he said. Verse 39. In Amplified. It says this. Oh. The second is like it. The second commandment. The second greatest commandment Jesus is talking about. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That is, unselfishly seek the best or higher good for others. That's what that really means. You unselfishly is seeking the best and higher good for others. And that's backed up also in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than himself. That's the greater glory. So let me go here. Why is it then that we don't seek to love ourselves? I gotta love myself. Because it's selfish. Mm-hmm. Listen, when it comes from the flesh, it's selfish. Mm-hmm. That means now I gotta be able to go and get in my own corner and exclude y'all out, because I gotta take care of myself, and I gotta go and I gotta spend this money on me. I gotta take this trip on me. I gotta be separated from y'all, all y'all that's pulling from me. But God didn't say that. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Because brothers and sisters, we are connected to the greatest love there ever is. The unconditional love of God. And when we allow the unconditional love of God to fill fill us to overflowing, we have many, much more love to give out to others. Mm-hmm. See, we don't need to have to love ourselves in that selfish way because we're loved by God.
Yes.
Is there a better love? Is there one better? His love is unconditional, and when we receive His unconditional love, then we can give His unconditional love. We don't really have love to give. We can't even really love ourselves. Well, can we? We can't. How are you going to do that? How are we going to generate a love within ourselves to take care of ourselves, to make us feel accepted? How do you do that? You can't. We see it in the Word. I mean, we see it in the world. So therefore, I said boldly, self-love is not of God. Now, I just brought that one out. There's others, but I brought that one out because that's a big one. And again, what are we talking about? We're talking about the areas in our Christian lives where we still are working out of self. See, I got to tell you something. Where did I put that on? Okay, I might as well bring it out now. Now, I got to tell you something. I have a real example of how this works. See, you know, because for us, it can be very subconscious. We don't always recognize it. And so here's my very example. You know, I end up telling all my business, so I got to tell you because the Holy Spirit told me give them this example. Okay, all right, Lord, I will. So the doors of the church are open for us, isn't that right? Mm-hmm. The doors of the church are open is a project that has been given to Safe Refuge Ministries. Well, you know, if you know anything about your pastor, I took that on. The doors of the church are open. We got things to do. So I made me a to-do list. I need a to-do list. I need that. Because if I don't have a to-do list, then all the stuff you ever seen in the commercial or the cartoon where the stuff is swirling around for head, you know, if I don't write it down, it keeps swirling around up here and I don't have any room in my mind. So I write it down. I always have a to-do list. And I'm always better with a to-do list. And I had that to-do list. And I put timelines on it because the doors of the church are open here. We got to have this done by here, and we got this to do. And so, yeah, and days went on, and I'm looking at the list, and days went on, and we're talking, and now we're moving forward, progression is happening, but it's some things on that list. I missed the timeline. I missed the timeline again. Wait a minute. Okay, I got the list, and I'm missing the timelines, and see, now this is not consciously happening, but I'm looking at that list, and I'm missing the timelines. And I noticed, I noticed something was disturbing my relationship with God. I don't play that now. I don't play it. You know, we've been practicing the presence of God for a while, over 4 years now. I'm used to being close to Him. I can smell it. You know, I'm used to going in prayer and getting in the Holy of Holies. I'm used to that. But something disturbing is something that's not right. It's not, I get in prayer, I can't stay focused. What's going on here? You know, I feel it's, Lord, what's going on here? I got to keep asking, what's going on, Lord? And you know, my quiet time can be so sweet. I sit down with this book right here, and I sit there and I just wait, you know, the listening prayer. I just wait, and He just talked to me. See, He just talked to me, and I'm used to that. I need it. And I'm sitting down, I hear nothing. Lord, what is going on? Finally, one day, I went into fasting and prayer. I got to know, Lord, what's happening? And finally, one day, He told me this. I wrote it down. This first time He had talked to me, you know, He was always talking. I wasn't here. But I wrote it down. And the Lord spoke to my spirit and said, you set up these timelines on your to-do list. And when you miss the timeline, your flesh and the devil team up to tell you that you failed. Now, since you failed, the lie continues to speak. Oh, God is disappointed in you. God mad at you. What are you doing? You gonna mess up God's plan. And He asked me this. How could you entertain such a thought? He had, we know when God starts asking questions, He's really making a statement, isn't He? He said, are you redeemed by the blood of my son? Are you situated in Christ? Am I pleased with my son? Then how can I not be pleased with you? He said. Then, in bold way, he said it. He said, grace. My grace is sufficient for you. He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. He said, rely on my grace. We'll get the work done. He said, oh my God. Oh. I didn't recognize it. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. I had written my own laws on a to-do list. I had written the law of death, the law of condemnation. Mm-hmm. I did that. Mm-hmm. And therefore, since I wrote them and I was going by them, mm-hmm. I got the result of them. Mm-hmm. I got the fruit of it. Mm-hmm. Condemnation. Which did what? Separate me from God. And so we use me as an example, brothers and sisters, this morning, that we please sit before God and say, Lord, what's my list? What did I do? What am I doing? That self-promoting, self-producing, self-knowing. You know, where am I relying on myself? Because then that creates a veil. And we don't like that veil. I don't want that veil. I don't ever want to be separated and can't hear my God. Now, so, Lord, show me where it is. Glory to God. Oh, I want to tell you something about that glory. No, I'm going to get there. I'm jumping ahead of myself. I'm almost finished, everybody. Just walk with me. This is so important for us this morning. For where we are, this is so important for us this morning. Now, I got to say this. Was the writing the list a bad thing? No, I need the list. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. I have lots of to-do lists for every project. I have a to-do list. And they're good. No, write the list. But what I didn't do, I didn't submit the list to God. Mm-hmm. I never submitted it to God. Mm-hmm. I never, because then, since I wrote this list and I put the timeline and I failed according to the perspective of flesh and the devil, I failed. I never went to God and said, Lord, is there a better way to do this? Is this even what you want me to do? Is this the way we do this first? You know, Lord, what about this, Lord? And didn't go to God. I had to take that veil off and come to God. Mm. Oh, let us look at our lives, brothers and sisters, and see. God's grace is so good.
Yes.
That you know, like again, flesh. Mm-hmm. Flesh always got to have its way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, this is it. Okay, go with me. Stay with me. If you missed everything else, get that last thing I said and get this. Verse 17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty as we know it, you know, we live in the land of liberty. Liberty as we know it is true for this too, but there's more behind it. Mm-hmm. Liberty, as I look that word up, means freedom and it means generosity. It's a compound word. It means freedom and it means generosity, which means it means freedom of generosity. Mm-hmm. So now, verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom of generosity. There is freedom of generosity. So what is that? Isn't that just another way of saying there is the grace of God? That's what that is saying. Let me tell you something else about this freedom, though. This freedom is a distinct blessing of the economy of grace. Oh, it's a blessing that comes with the economy of grace. Let's understand economy of grace. Economy of grace is this. It is the structure that rules God's grace. It is the structure that distributes God's grace. The economy of grace. We are living in the economy of grace. The economy of grace is the way God distributes his grace to you and I. And we have freedom in this economy of grace. Freedom to do what? Because I see I'm losing y'all. Come on, I want you to hear this one. Mm-hmm. Freedom to do what? Verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. How? From glory to glory. From glory to glory simply means it's a process. It's something that we grow up into. We are being changed. Now, we are living independent and apart from, watch this, this is the economy of grace causes us to live independent and apart from legal restrictions and rules of life. Why? We're living in a different economy. Legal restrictions and rules of life. What do you mean by that? Let me give you an example. Jesus himself. It is against every type of law you can think of to be standing out on a mountain somewhere where there is no store and to take two fish and five loaves of bread and feed 5,000. You are now living outside of legal restrictions and rules of life. Now, as being in Christ Jesus, we also now are living independent and apart from legal restrictions and rules of life in the economy of grace, see. And that's why in every area of our lives, we seek the Lord. Please, Lord, show me where we can. I got to remove that veil because I got a better place, another glory I want to stand in. And I want to stand in the economy of grace, where I'm outside of legal restrictions and rules of life. See, it's in that place outside of legal restrictions and rules of life where miracles, signs, and wonders happen in Christ. See, and we're in him. And we're free. We're free in this economy of grace as being in Christ Jesus. Now, God may say to you and I or at any time, go get that land. Now, go get that land. Okay, I will go get that land. But Lord, have you checked my credit? Lord, did you check my bank account? Did you check, Lord? No, but God said, go get that land. See, now listen, I am not promoting poor stewardship over finances. I'm not promoting that. But if by chance life happened and you do have bad credit and you don't have money, what I'm telling you is within God, we stand outside of legal restrictions and rules of life. If he said, go get it, go get it. Now, that's one part, and that's the part we like. Oh, miracles, signs, and wonders. Yes, as we're in Christ, and we have been given the authority to execute his name and execute who he is in all areas of our lives for his name's sake. But there's another one. Living outside of legal restrictions and rules of life is also gives us the ability to live righteously in Christ. Well, what does that mean? Things like love your enemies and do good. Now, see, that's a greater glory, see. Because, you know, the law could tell you things like, you know, don't fight them, don't beat them up, don't kill them. Just stay away from them. No! In the greater glory, as we are changing the image of Christ, we get to love our enemies and not just, you know, love your enemies, you know, but pray for them, but keep your distance. No, do good. That means you got to go to them. Yep. You got to give them what they don't deserve. See, you got to be good to them. And why is that? Because we are now living in the economy of grace. What about this? Now, come on, we're going to use Jesus again. They tell us in the Bible, when Jesus, they took him before Pontius Pilate, the Roman ruler. You know, they're about to crucify him. You know, they're about to, and they're calling him all kinds of names, and they're telling all kinds of lies on him, and they're saying all kinds of things about him. And the Bible tells us Jesus stood there, and he kept silent. He didn't say one word. He never defended himself. He never said, do you know who I am? Do you know who my father is? But he kept silent and he didn't say a word. You know why? Because he was in the economy of grace. Where we get to do.
Yeah.
We get to do it God's way. We get to depend on God for everything. For our own defenses. Did he defend Jesus' character? Not at that moment. But we know something. that today Jesus has a name above every name. Mm-hmm. And at his name, every knee bows. Mm-hmm. Wait, in heaven and earth and under the earth. See, it's in that economy Ooh. Of grace where we have liberty mm-hmm. to operate in the yeah. things of God.
Yeah.
And so, being independent and apart from legal restrictions and rules of life is in that space where we perform miracles, signs, and wonders. And we live righteously in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Ah, oh, glory to God. Are we being changed day by day as we look into the Word of God and as we commune with Him and pray with Him and our brothers and sisters? We're being changed day by day. So I want to encourage every one of us. Sit with the Lord. Go with Him. Go to, and ask Him, Lord, where am I? In what area in my life am I living according to the law of self? Because I don't want to stay there. I understand there's a greater glory. There's a greater glory in Christ Jesus. Bless the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, will you receive this word today?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Father, we thank you today for this word. My God. It's a lot to chew on. But Lord, you're calling us to action now. Now that we've heard it, you're calling us to action. And just like we said yes to all the blessings before and all the gifts that you're pouring down on us, Lord, we're going to say yes to this too. We're going to do this part too. Lord, come before you and allow you to show us every area where we're living according to self. We get fooled sometimes because we grew up in self. And it makes sense outside of you. But we want the greater glory. Thank you, Lord, in the coming day. Because what we know is the thing that you show us is the thing that you're fixing. Father, I pray over these people that there be no condemnation as you are exposing those areas where we're standing behind a veil. My God, you've already equipped us with your precious Holy Spirit to step out from behind that veil. Come face to face with you and to live in the liberty of the economy of grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All glory to God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory to God. Oh, thank you all for your patience through that one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, let us move into our time of communion. So if you're online, of course, if you have some crackers or cookies or piece of bread or anything that you can use, then you can do that. Some water, some juice. And we're going to move into our time of communion. And our brother Brandon is going to lead us in communion. Hallelujah.
Leave it.
Oh, leave it. Okay. And they're right under there. If you haven't seen it. All right.
Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor, for that great word this morning. So I will go ahead and get the communion elements, pass them around.
No, same, same. That was a mistake.
A wonderful change has come over me.
Yes.
A wonderful change has come over me.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
Oh, glory to God. Okay, hold on, y'all. You know I gotta find that one. Was it Tremaine? Okay, go ahead, Brandon. I'll try to find
it. And also the Tamala Man's version.
Okay. That's a good one, too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here it is. I'll find it. Go ahead.
That is.
That's it?
Yeah, that was Tamala Man.
Change Me?
Yeah.
Did you want to turn the recording off?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, y'all. I just need the one I want. Sorry.
Need a to-do list?
Huh?
You need a to-do list?
maybe. I'm hoping this is it.
Grandma got jokes.
yeah. Is it Tremaine or another Hawkins?
A change has come over me. He changed my life. Now I'm free. Tremaine's coming at this time.
A change.
God.
Changes that you will make in us still. We thank you, Lord. Praise you. So let us enter now and into our time of communion. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to come together and remember the great love that you showed towards us in sending your beloved Son, Jesus, to come and walk the earth as a man, live a sinless life, and offer himself up as the perfect sacrifice for our sins and bear our sicknesses in his body on the cross. Lord, 1 Corinthians 11 tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, gave thanks, blessed and broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And Lord, you said that we should do this as often as we take of it. So we thank you. Thank you, Father. And we call into remembrance our Lord Jesus and how his body was broken so that our bodies could be healed. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes ye were healed." We thank you, Lord. In John chapter 6, you said that if we eat your flesh and drink your blood, we would have life in us and live forever. So we thank you. We partake of your body as you instructed us to do. And we believe to receive every blessing that you have promised and that you gave us and suffered to give us through the breaking of your body. In Jesus' name, let's take the bread.
Don't buy this kind anymore.
Y'all get it? Okay. I'm getting there. I guess I'm just going to put a
hole in it and squeeze it.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. let's partake the cup. Amen.
God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you, Master. We give you praise.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Brother Brennan, for
yes.
administering our communion. Oh, we get a chance to obey the word and to receive the benefits of reconnecting with the body of Christ.
Yes.
In the order that it was established. God, we thank you for this service on today. We thank you for this word from our pastor, straight from you, God. Your grace is sufficient for us.
Yes.
But in our weakness, in our tough times,
yes.
to hold on to the word. Grab a hold to the word. To stand on the word. In opposition, when it gets shaky, when there's doubt, unbelief, cares of this world, news reports, God, then we are able to say, oh Lord, then we are strong. Then we feel the fortification in our spirit man. Then we can hold our heads up knowing that I can't go under. It seems like I'm falling under. Things are crashing all around me.
Yes.
Things are falling apart. This body, the mind, memory, glory. Finances, friendships. Oh, but you just getting started.
Yeah.
You're paving roads, paving paths, clearing paths, breaking chains, padlocks. God, you're leveling mountains. Because we're choosing to see the importance of holding on to your word. Just as you gave Moses the Ten Commandments for the children of Israel, that you gave us this word to keep. As Pastor preached, that you didn't say, well, you know what? The word is no longer valid for you as Christians. Oh, the Old Testament is something you don't have to even worry about. I gave you grace. You can just go on and do what you do and how you do it, when you want to do it, whatever you want to do it. And I just put my nose. God, we see in your word. That you still hold your word as the highest authority in the land for your people to follow. That we can't do what we want to do because the world is. We are held by a different standard. We have connection in the kingdom of God where we can go in. Pastor said that remove the veil. And talk to our Father. Father, I bring you into this situation. God, what do you want to do now? Oh, I slipped up. I got a hand of myself. I started doing it on my own. But I step aside and let you get back in the driver's seat. God, take control. God, this week, we're going to see some things. These gifts that you gave out today, we're going to see some things. We're going to see them unfold. God, we're going to see ourselves walking in the gifts that you've given us. Beyond our thinking ability, beyond our comprehension skills, beyond whatever we can fathom. You're going to do it for Seth Refuge Ministry, then us individually. To, for what reason? That the world may know that there's a people, your people, who are still following your ways.
Yes, God.
Even now, even in 2026, we refuse to create a new order, a new way. Mm-mm. We hold to the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the same God of Moses, the same God of David. Ah, glory God. The same God who set parted the Red Sea. We refuse to move from that place where we know it was you who has kept us in the way, on the journey, on the mission field. Oh, when others fell to the wayside, when others gave up, we didn't hold on because we're so strong. Because you were so strong and you held us on. You held us in the palm of your hands. Strengthen our spirits, God. Yeah. Our minds. God. I know how. Doors will open this week. Favor. Cover us like a shield. It's happening.
Yeah.
It's happening. Even if we don't know it's happening, it's happening throughout this whole church. Not just Safe Refuge, but the whole body of Christ. We're just so thankful that you have tuned us in. You have revealed to us what you're doing in these last days.
Yes.
You're giving us more so. It seems that the world's taking more. That stuff is being released. That's grabbing more from us. Causing the church to look like clowns. Causing the church to look like we are complete idiots. But God, you are delivering us from that place where we have to defend our faith. And putting us in a place where they can see it. Just like the children of Israel, they can see. I don't know who these people are, but I do know that God that they're serving, he's making their name known. When there's no water, he's causing them to have wells that don't run out. God, let the world see that you're still the big God, a good God, a great God. All they got to do is come serve you. And that we're your representatives, your willing vessels, to go everywhere we can, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Doing good, as Pastor said, doing good. And we thank you for it. Bless this communion that we're about to have, God, this fellowship. Let it be powerful like anything we've seen thus far. Woo, Jesus. Yeah. You're not done yet. We're not done yet for today. When we leave this place, you will not just be slightly changed. Totally changed. And we'll be able to see clearly. Just like you spoke to Moses. Pastor says we're moving the veil. Face to face. Not in dark sayings and riddles. Clearly. Crystallized. Every single person in this room. On this call. And we thank you for it. And the people of God says in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Jesus. Oh, encourage that. Oh, yes.
Want to turn the record off?
Yeah, I'm doing it too. Thank you.
She's got it.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Oh, we love.
I'll call you, Gregory.